Let's open our Bibles to where? The book of Isaiah. And chapter 54. I love this chapter. Isaiah 54. We've been looking at verse 10. Verse 10, well, part of verse 10, part of verse 10 says this. All of verse 10 says this. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Now, we've been looking at that phrase over the last few weeks, the covenant of peace. And as a quick reminder of what we have been looking at and what we've seen through this series of teaching, is that one, the covenant of peace is a covenant that's been cut in blood. All covenants were blood covenants. And we know this covenant that God is talking about here was cut in blood. It was Jesus' blood. He ratified the covenant. You know, when he died, he brought in this covenant, this new covenant, as we call it. And this covenant, if we look at other scriptures, particularly in the book of Ezekiel, we'll see that this covenant is described as an everlasting covenant. Now, just those two words tell you something about this covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant that never comes to an end. It's an everlasting covenant. It will never be removed, Isaiah says. Well, it says, my covenant of peace, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. It cannot be removed. That means it lasts forever. It's still in force today. We have a covenant of peace. And what we actually did is we actually started looking at what this covenant is that God has made with us, this covenant of peace, by looking at the various meanings of the word shalom, which is the word peace, as translated in this verse. And we've been looking so far over the last 3 weeks that shalom includes our safety and our protection. Shalom includes our harmony with one another, but more particularly, harmony with God. Our harmony with God, our relationship with Him. Then last week, as we were going through, we looked at this, and God's covenant of peace gives us soundness and clarity of mind. You know, we don't have to be anxious and worry and fretful. Why we have the peace of God, which Philippians tells us surpasses all understanding. And it guards our hearts and minds. Well, I want to just take it a little bit further tonight and look at another definition of the word shalom. And that is in the area of health and healing. And we see that shalom includes, it's a covenant for our health, covenant for healing. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with looking at the sacrifice of Jesus by going back one chapter to chapter 53. Because in Isaiah 53, and again, this is a beautiful chapter, which prophesying of the death, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And in verse 5, we read these words. Well, actually, no, let's go verse 4. Verses 4 and 5. It says here, it says, surely, that means without a doubt. Surely. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now here we read that Jesus took the chastisement or the punishment for our peace. For our shalom. You know, and that was all laid upon him. So that we could have peace. So that we could have shalom. Jesus, it says here, he was wounded for our transgressions. He took the stripes on his back. The crown of thorns pressed into his brow. He was bruised for our iniquities. Remember, he was beaten. He was whipped. He was struck with the fist. And not only that, we also have the whole weight of our sin that was laid upon him, which I believe physically crushed him as well. It says, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, or the punishment for our peace, was upon him. And then it finishes with these beautiful words in this verse. It says, and by his stripes we are healed. It's by his stripes, by his wounds, that we receive healing. Now, in the verse 4 which we read, it says here, surely, and again, as I stress, this means without a doubt, you know, absolutely, he has borne. Now, if you do a word study on these words, you'll see that these two words, griefs and sorrows. Now, I'm not going to try and pronounce them in the Hebrew, but the word grief here, the literal translation of this word grief is malady, sickness, disease, anxiety, and weakness. And it also means grief as well. Actually, and if you, one of the lexicons, Brown, Driver and Briggs, they give a one-word definition for this word grief, and that's sickness. Surely, he has borne our sickness, our grief, our diseases. So that, and then it says, he has carried our sorrows. Now this word sorrows, again, if you look it up in the Hebrew and take it right back, you'll see that this means anguish, affliction, and pain. Both physical and mental. Anguish, affliction, and pain. So when Jesus went to the cross, and a lot of even Pentecostal believing people, Bible believers, are teaching and believing that sickness is not covered in the death of Jesus. Well, the scripture here tells us that it is.
What does it mean? Born.
Born, to carry. To carry. A lot of churches, even Pentecostal churches, are teaching now that sickness is not included in the what they call the atonement.
Covering, yeah.
In the atonement, it's not. It wasn't covered by the death of Jesus. Well, that's not what the scripture here is teaching us. It's showing us that when Jesus died, he bore, he carried our sicknesses, he carried our diseases, he carried our pains. He was smitten by God and afflicted. And then it says, they argued that the last line of verse 5, where they say, by his stripes we are healed. They say that word healing only encompasses the healing of sin. It's a spiritual healing. Well, Again, that's not what the scripture here is saying, because if you look at that word healed in the original language, you'll see it means to cure. To cure. Yes, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he took our sicknesses, he took our diseases, he carried our pains. And actually, going back to what Sister Rose just asked, this word translated here as born, which we said means to carry, it also has the, that Jesus took it upon himself. He took it upon himself. He accepted it on our behalf.
Now, so it means to make whole.
To make whole. And carry.
No, no. Healed.
Healed means whole, sorry.
To make whole.
Yes, to make whole.
Right, it's when the scriptures, when Jesus sent them and said, you are made whole.
Made whole. Now what we actually have here in this chapter, and I love this chapter so much, and I read this quite frequently. And even sometimes when we're in having the Lord's Supper, if I'm sitting down or I've got my Bible near me, when I open it to this chapter, just read these words. You know, that he has borne. You know, we have an image here of Jesus taking our sin upon himself, accepting our sicknesses and our pains, and having taken them to the cross. I remember we said, I think it was last week or the week before, that, you know, that handwriting of requirements that was against us, Jesus took away and nailed it to the cross. As we read in Colossians, I believe it is. You know, he carried them far away from us. He removed them from us. Now, if Jesus took them to give us peace, then going back to the statement I made just a few moments ago, then health and healing must be included in the atonement. It must be a part of the covenant of peace that God has made with us. That's logic. Let's look at a couple of other scriptures which I believe just bear that out. Psalm 29. Psalm 29 verse 11. See, what I want to do here is I want to read the last verse of Psalm 29 and then a couple of verses in the next psalm, in Psalm 30. The last verse of Psalm 29, verse 11 says this: the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The Lord will give strength to his people. He will bless his people with peace. Now, just hang on to that word strength for now, because we're going to come back to that. But just look at what it says in Psalm 30. Because here David is rejoicing, and he says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. You have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. You know, there David is talking about healing. He's talking about being preserved, being kept alive. And he's giving praise to God for it. Now, the Lord will give strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. So, now let's go back to Isaiah. Remember that word strength. The Lord will give strength. He will bless his people with peace. And come with me to Isaiah, this time to chapter 40. 40. Okay, this is a familiar verse to many of us. And a favorite verse of many people as well. Verse 29. Isaiah 40, verse 29. Through to verse 31. It says this, in verse 29 it says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yeah, he gives power to the weak, to the faint-hearted, to those that are physically fatigued and fainting. And those who have no might, no strength, he increases their strength. He gives them strength. The Lord will bless his people with strength. He will bless his people with peace. He gives shalom to the weak and the sick, the weary and the fatigued. And he rejuvenates them, he restores them, he makes them whole. He blesses them with shalom, peace. Now, we're going to look at another set of scriptures, this time in the book of Jeremiah. Now, in this book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is talking, he's talking about Jerusalem. But seeing Jerusalem is a, when we see Jerusalem or Zion in the scriptures, it's a type of the church. We can take it for ourselves. These are promises for us as the people of God.
Amen.
So in Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah 30, we're going to read verses 12 down to verse 17. There's only a few verses, but they are quite long verses. So Jeremiah 30, verse 12. You know what? As we read this, you'll see that Jerusalem was suffering tough times. They were going through hard times. And things weren't getting any better for them. They were actually getting worse and worse. So the Lord speaks to the prophet and gives him a word for Jerusalem. And he says this. He says, "For thus says the Lord." And I know I said this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. Whenever you see this phrase in the scriptures, it's always in the present tense. For thus says the Lord. It's never past tense. Because a lot of people say, well, that's all these things are gone, that's finished, they're in the past. No, God is speaking. He's speaking in the present.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord. That means it's relevant to us today. He still speaks that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable, because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured. All of your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. Then he says this, he says, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion. No one seeks her." Now he's saying it. When things were going from worse to worse, they weren't getting any better for God's people. But throughout the scriptures, God always invites his people to come back in repentance to him. And if they do that, if they repent, you notice he's connecting here their increasing sin with these problems. Because they keep sinning, because the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. This is why these things have come upon you. But he says, if you come back to me, you turn from your sin, you turn back to me, you come back to me, you repent of your sin, He said, I will restore health to you, and I will heal you of your wounds. In the next chapter, I'm just going to look at a few of these chapters around here. In chapter 31, this time I'm just going to take one verse 25. Okay, because this is still the same, still the same words that God's speaking to his people. He says in verse 25, he says, I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Chapter 31, verse 25.
Jeremiah
31. He said, I have satiated the weary soul. I have fully satisfied the weary soul, the tired soul, the soul that is fatigued. He gives power to the weak, we've just read in Isaiah. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. He says, I have satisfied, I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And then he goes on, just a few verses later, in verses 31 onwards, he starts talking about a new covenant which he's going to make with his people. So now come with me to chapter 33.
Lovely.
Chapter 33, Jeremiah 33. And again, just bear in mind that these verses were addressed to the people of Jerusalem, the people of God, but they are for us today. And in verse 3, he says, call to me. Notice who is the invitation. He said, call to me. He's not telling us to run to any man, any professional here. He's saying, call to me. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. He said, call to me. And what does God promise here? He says, if you call on me, he says, I will answer you.
He does.
He says, and I will show you great and mighty things, which you do not know. Then verse 4, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men, whom I will slay in my anger and my fury. All for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. So he says, he's inviting these people to call upon him, in repentance, in prayer. You know, if you call on me, he says, I will answer you. I'm going to show you great things. He says, because at the moment, he says, Jerusalem is like a rubble heap. He says, talking about the king's houses, the siege mounds. He says, the people, dead bodies in the street. But then he promises in verse 6, he says, behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. So if we call upon him, God promises that he will bring health and healing. He will heal us and reveal to us an abundance of shalom, peace. So even though the situation was bad for God's people, they had many, many diseases, many afflictions. We've seen that in chapter 30. And in chapter 30 it says there was no medicine for healing. Yet God says that he's going to give an abundance of peace, and that peace will bring health and healing to them. Not just for their land, but for themselves as well. Because we have the that great promise in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7, where it says that if seek my face, he says, then I'm going to hear from heaven, I'm going to hear, I'm going to forgive the sin, and I'm going to bring healing to the land. So, yes, there was healing for the land and healing for the body as well. Now, I think it was last week we touched on the woman in the New Testament that had that issue of blood, that flow of blood. So let's just remind ourselves and go there. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And let's go to 25, verse 25. Mark 5, 25. I mean, we really could do a whole series of teaching on this subject, but now, Jesus is on his way. Remember, Jesus is on his way to the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. He has come to meet Jesus and to request that he goes down to his house and lay his hands on his sick daughter. And Jesus is on the road. He's going down to his house. He's accepted the invitation and he's on his way to minister to this young 12-year-old girl. Now, as they are journeying, there's a great crowd, a great multitude that are following him and are close to him. And it says in verse 25 that now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging blood. She'd suffered for 12 years. And she'd suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So when she heard about Jesus, now Jesus wasn't, this was before Jesus had arrived. She'd heard about Jesus. His fame had gone before him. And obviously somebody had perhaps mentioned to her that, hey, Jesus is just nearby. And so she's got this in her heart now, she hears about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she had said previously, she had purposed, this was in her heart, on her mind, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And the Bible tells us there that as she reached out and she touched his garment, verse 29, and just love this word in the scriptures. Whenever you see this word in the scriptures, it is great. It is awesome. It says, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. You know, what she'd been suffering for 12 years was dried up in an instant. And it says she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. But that prompted a reaction from Jesus, because then he turns around and read in verse 30 and he asks the question, who touched my clothes? Now verse 24 tells us something about this crowd, and I've mentioned it, that as they were journeying to the home of Jairus, there was a big crowd around him. People were, you know, it says they were thronging him. It was they were so close to him that they would be walking, knocking into him as they're walking down the road. You know, you don't walk in an upright. You know, as you walk, you tend to move from side to side anyway. Your body moves. And this would have been happening on the road. People would have been bumping into Jesus. Not deliberately, but, you know, just as a byproduct of their walking, and because they were thronging him, and because they were crowding around him. And he says, who touched me? And the disciples said to him, what's the matter? You know, everybody's touching you. He goes, no. He said, somebody has touched me. Somebody's reached out in faith, and it says they've drawn that healing power from me. And he's looking around to see who it was. And this woman, knowing what had happened in verse 33, says, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and began to tell him the whole truth, everything about her life, her story. You know, what she'd suffered, what she'd gone through, how she'd been to every physician in the town, how she'd spent every penny or every, whatever they had, the shekel, the denarii, whatever they had, everything was spent. And then he said these words, and pastors mentioned it already tonight. He says, daughter, he says, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. And he says, go in peace. Go in shalom. He says, and be healed. Now, my understanding of that verse, where it says, your faith has made you well, or your faith has made you, that's completeness.
Amen.
You know, this woman had suffered for 12 years. She was broke. She didn't have any money. I'm guessing, and because of the, knowing a little bit about the status of women at that time, she wouldn't have worked. She would have been dependent on charity, on handouts, support from other people in the family. But here, Jesus, he proclaims, he says, your faith, because you dared to believe, he says, your faith has made you whole. Every bit whole. In her mind, in her body, in her social life, every part of her life was made whole. He said, go in the shalom, he says, and be healed. And be healed of your affliction. You know, wherever Jesus went, he was proclaiming peace. He was proclaiming and he was healing the sick, ministering to those that were poor, raising up those that were downcast. You know, the shalom of God was upon him. Let's go to another scripture. Just got time. Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Again, another scripture I could spend a few weeks just looking at, but in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought, and as his custom was, look at those words, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus did not skip church. It was his custom to go to the house of God on the Sabbath. He made a point of being in the house of God. Now, they may not have realized who he was. They may not have realized that God was in the house. They may have just followed through a traditional, ritualistic, whatever they do, form of worship. But he was, as his custom, he went to the synagogue. And he says he stood up to read. He was well known. They didn't just hand out these things to any person. This was someone who usually went to the house of God. He was known in that place. And it was his turn that particular day to take the scroll and read from it. And it says he opened the book and he found the place, verse 17, where these words were written. And we know this as Isaiah chapter 61. And it says here in verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He says, the Holy Spirit of God is upon me. He says, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel. The good news. What was the good news? What is the gospel? Now let me tell you something, what Jesus didn't preach. Jesus didn't preach that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. He didn't preach that message. Why? Because he hadn't died on the cross at this point. He was proclaiming the shalom. Amen. The peace of God. God's wholeness. How do I know that? How do I know that's the message he preached? Because it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. So let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Got a couple of scriptures that we're going to finish with. Ephesians 2, 17 says this. Now, again, it's talking about Jesus. You have to read the chapter to know this is talking about Jesus. Because it says in verse 14, it says that he, talking about Jesus, himself is our peace. Sin and preached peace to those who were afar off and to those who were near. The message that Jesus preached was the gospel of peace. The shalom of God. That there's this covenant of peace that God has made with his people. That they could have their safety and protection. They could have harmony with God. They can have relationships with one another. You know, they can be safe and secure. You know, there's health and healing. All this was included in the covenant of peace. And this is the message that Jesus proclaimed. Yes. There was that the part of repentance, coming to God. They got to turn to him. They got to turn from their wicked way. You know, Jesus challenged all those that came to him. You know, don't do that. You know, turn from those ways. You know, change your life. You know, but he came and preached peace to those who were afar off. Or he preached peace to you, he says. Because Paul's writing to the Ephesians. He preached peace to you. He preached to those who were afar off and to those who were near. That wherever Jesus went, he proclaimed peace. And this good news of peace brought many times we see it through the scriptures, and it wasn't the only thing, but it brought health and healing. Now, so those that would receive it, those that would believe it, you know, they went away whole. There were a few that came and left disappointed, like the rich young ruler. But he was looking for eternal life. And he wasn't prepared to follow the advice of Jesus. But when it comes to those that were sick, and those that had physical needs, I think I'm correct, but I don't think you will find in the Gospels that any who came to him went away disappointed. All had their needs met. Everyone that came to him, they were healed. They were set free. They were whole. They were liberated. Why? Because Jesus proclaimed that the peace of God had come. You know, God's peace. He is, and he is. Isaiah tells us, and we mention this at Nativity time, he is the Prince of Peace. That's one of the names he was given. You know, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus went about preaching this good news of peace. And we have in Acts recorded that, actually let's turn that as our last scripture, Acts chapter 10. Verses 36 and 38. Well, let me take you from verse 34, because this is Peter. He's preaching. He's a centurion in the Roman army. He's a Gentile, and Peter opens his mouth, it says in verse 34, and he says this. He says, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." If you're accepted by God, that means you have access to the blessing. And then he says in verse 36, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached," which was the baptism of repentance. John proclaimed that. It says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. We read it in Luke 4, where Jesus says, look, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to do something. To preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And it says, we're witnesses of all these things. We saw it. You know, we know this to be true. So, the covenant of peace. Apart from the other things we've looked at, is also a covenant of health and healing. Amen.
Let's give a hand.